This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Well, good Friday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for September 25th, episode 1264, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. Good morning, Horse World.
Guess what day it is today? Sunday. No, it's Friday. Friday.
This is what it's all about, gentlemen. It's what we train for.
Happy Friday.
Thank God.
Lord, I love to hear that Friday 5 o'clock whistle moan. As the moon comes up and the sun goes down, put the juice to my truck, I head into town.
Hello. Oh my gosh, it's September 25th. It's almost October. And I've been reading all these posts about everybody, oh, wearing long sleeves finally. Yeah, it was 105 here yesterday. September is like just such a tease if you live in Arizona. And by the way, let me just vent for a second. There is one mosquito in my office and I have tried to kill this thing like 100 times and I've slapped myself 6 times. Bam, bam, bam. I can't get it. And it's a little distracting. It's like squirrel. There it is. There's the bug.
Hey, we're all happy. It's now fall and the humidity is down about 5%. Now, it's still 90 degrees, but the humidity is down about 5%, which apparently makes all the difference in the world because it's almost tolerable outside.
I know. Lucky you. Lucky you, 90 degrees. I don't even want to hear it. No, I just, September is like notoriously the biggest tease. And because you think, I mean, I grew up in Georgia where September, you start to get a little bit of cooler, crisper air. You know, if you're in New England, your leaves are starting to change.
You got your winter coats out.
I took a picture of driving out at an intersection yesterday, and I will send it to Jennifer right now because it was like, the traffic jam that I had to go around was a giant tumbleweed in the middle of the intersection. Ridiculous. That's my fall. It's like, oh, the tumbleweeds are letting go and blowing across. So, yeah, hate it. Sorry. Carry on. let's not be negative. Let's be positive.
That's right.
Today's going to be a very happy, positive show.
Hey, we're coming into 8 months of beautiful weather here in Florida. We're happy.
Yeah. There's people hate you right now.
I know.
They hate me too, but it's okay. I can take it because I have to deal with summer. And so do you. It's like our winter.
That's right.
Jennifer, we're going to be super positive on the show today. So tell us what is coming up on our super positive Friday show.
Coming up on today's Kentucky Performance Products super positive Freestyle Friday edition, following a 15-minute laser-focused look at the world's most titillating happenings, we'll go behind the scenes at Woodbine Racetrack with Don Lupul. And then trotting down the center line, Mary Fike is going to fill us in on the Haggard Big South 3-day event and team challenge. It's the old school challenge, and we'll find out why it has so much appeal for so many riders. And surprise, surprise, the EquityMFG.com really bad ads hits the laugh button repeatedly. And to all of my fellow superhero fans out there, happy National Comic Book Day, everyone.
Woohoo!
Thank you. And Jennifer, you might want to hang up and call back into the studio because your sound's not great. So you might want to try give that a try. All right. Daily Winnie time. And you go first today.
All right. This may take a minute, Glenn. So just to let everybody know who doesn't know, I adopted a dog from the pound. Like the High Kill Animal Shelter, I was fortunate enough to get there, you know, in the morning, and he was on the E-list for that night. And he is a very elderly basset hound, and he is the sweetest thing. And we named him Lucky. He was surrendered by his owners. They just, this old basset hound, oh, it's too old. We'll just put it in the, take it to where they'll put it down, you know. So Owner Surrender, his whole life changed on that day. I guess it was Wednesday before last. And sadly, he was left there. And anyway, so I went and got him and I adopted him. And I had no idea what I was getting myself into. He ends up needing about $1,500 to $1,800 worth of oral surgery. Not to mention he's got his ear infections are so bad that you lift up his ears and don't I hope we're not having breakfast. There's pus in his ears. Ugh. That's how bad it is. He has tumors everywhere. He's just the saddest little thing. I hate that sound effect. He's the saddest little thing you've ever seen, but he's also the sweetest, kindest dog. And he's just so happy to be here. He's just so happy. He came outside and it's like he'd never seen grass before. He was rolling in the grass. It's just the first thing he did. Anyway, so first of all, I just decided I'll start a GoFundMe account and see what happens. Because maybe there's somebody out there who'll donate a couple bucks here and there. And you guys, we are over $1,200 in donations right now. Like, are you kidding me? So you people want to help me with this dog that you don't even know, you've never even seen, and you are opening your wallet and your heart to help me with this dog that I rescued? Like, it's my problem. And you guys are helping me? He's so sweet and he's so nice. And it breaks my heart that somebody would do that. And as sad as I get and mad as I get at people for doing what they do to their animals, it all turns around when people like you guys come and help me and open your hearts and your wallets to help a dog that you don't even know. And as bad as I feel about and mad as I get at people, it's all washed away. By looking at what you guys did, I am speechless. I'm speechless. I can't even believe it. So, thank you to all of you. And at 3 days in, we got 32 donors. And I just wanted to run through their names. I'm not going to give you last names or anything. Some of them are it's anonymous. I'm just going to Jennifer, Fiona, Nancy, my mom, Stacy, Dolores, Genevieve, Jessica, Fiona, another Fiona, Ellen, Vicky, Tina, Vera, Carol, Kara, Linda, my dad, Leah, Melanie, Ken, Katie, Jean, Jenny, Sana, Eileen, Linda, Glenn, and Jennifer, Rhonda, Angie, Paula, Donna, Nicole, Linda, Allison, and Kayla. Oh, man. Thank you guys. Thank you guys so much. And I talked to my mom yesterday and I was like, Mom, I can't not cry when I'm talking about this, but I talked to my mom and I said, Mom, you know, my mom doesn't have a lot of money. She's got a dog and you guys all have your own pets and you've got your own stuff going on. And I said to her, I'm like, you didn't have to do that, Mom. And she's like, now I feel like he's part mine. You know, I feel like he's part my dog. And I own a little piece of him and I'm invested in him now. And I just thank you guys so much for all helping. Anyway, please email me your addresses because Lucky has a little thing he would like to send all of you. So jamie@horseradionetwork.com. It's not a big deal, but please, I can do it for the cost of a stamp at least and send you something. And I just really appreciate it. And I just want you guys to know how much it means to me. And for those that can't, because you have your own dogs and you have your own problems, that's fine. Thank you so much for just being positive with me and sending me nice messages or just thinking good thoughts into the world that you're with me. You do your own pets and you know what, here's what you can do is take care of your animals. You know, I love you guys so much and I really appreciate it. Okay.
How am I supposed to do anything after that?
You said go first.
I didn't know that's what you were going to do or I want to reverse the order. Yeah, me crying over here. Jeez.
He's so sweet. I love him so much and I love you guys for helping. And so the surgery is scheduled for Wednesday and it's
for
a big
teeth,
surgery.
For his mouth.
Yeah, and it's a big one. Like, I mean, he's got a massive like growth on his gums, and if you look at the pictures of him, you can actually see it. Like, it looks like he's got a big fat lip, and it's because under that is called hyperplasia, and it's the gums have just like so it's like proud flesh basically. Something happened, and proud flesh grew out of it. So he's got this big mass and all of his teeth are black. The only normal colored teeth are in the bottom front and everything else is black. So he's probably going to lose everything, lose all his teeth. But you know what? He's already eating wet food. He's very happy to do that. And he's put on weight already. So,
well, thank you to you. And thank you to everybody who helped out.
Yeah. There we go. Moving on.
Now I have to go on. All right, we're going to change gears here a little bit because mine is a happy birthday, and we're going to try. We don't often do this.
Never do this because it never works.
It never works. We're going to try again. What the heck? So Leslie Wiley, who's here from Horse Nation every Monday, it's her birthday today, and we happen to know that she's at the American Eventing Championships in Texas. Now, I don't know if she's even out of bed yet because it's, what, 8 o'clock there?
She'll be out of bed.
I don't know. She sleeps pretty late. So we're going to find out because I'm going to call her cell phone live on the air here. And if she answers, I'm going to go right into the happy birthday song, okay?
Do you still have the old Winnie?
Yeah, sorry.
All right. I just got to prepare myself. Yeah, you guys keep sending in your Winnies, please.
Not ringing. Ring already.
Because it never works. This never works.
Hey!
Oh my gosh, she answered.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Oh my goodness, I'm gonna cry.
Don't do that. Jamie just got done crying. This is supposed to be happy.
Oh, this is the sweetest ever. Happy birthday to me.
We never do this. We never call people live on the air. So happy birthday.
You're on the air. You're live on the air. Don't cuss.
Awesome. Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Leslie, you're in Texas, huh?
I am. I am in Tyler, Texas, covering the American Eventing Championships.
I wanted to go so bad. It was like my goal is to get there this year because it's the last one in Texas before they move it 100 million miles away. But alas, it was not to be, but that's okay.
Yeah.
You have to actually like qualify and win competitions to get there. So
yeah, small details.
Well, how's it going down there?
Oh, it's great. I've been to the ACs when they were in Chicago and in Georgia, but I've not been out to this horse park while the ACs have been out here. So it's such a neat place, and it's just the weather's gorgeous, and everyone's, you know, I feel like this is like the USEA's feel good event of the year. You know, we got the pros out chasing after. They've got a $20,000 check for the winner of the Attaquan USEA Advanced Gold Cup final. And then side by side with that, we've got, you know, the adult amateur weekend warriors, and we've got, you know, kids who are just so excited to be here. And it feels like such a big deal event. So it's a lot of fun and lots going on all the time.
Hey, I didn't get a chance to tell Jamie, but Joe Meyer and Tammy Smith hosted the Eventing Radio Show this week, and they're both there, right?
Yes. Yeah. I've seen both of them around. Joe's got a couple horses going in the Gold Cup division, and Tammy is doing. I don't know if Tammy's got horses going. I saw her yesterday. They have an event college going on where they do classes on various sort of eventing topics with experts, and she was doing a neat class yesterday. Had a group of people there watching the advanced dressage warm up, and then going over and watching the test and sort of seeing how the warm ups translated to the test and that sort of thing. So very cool.
Now this is my question is because Leslie, sometimes I don't know if you know, but I've been kind of that girl at a horse show where I have the horse that's like bolting in circles and warm up and is like freaking out. And I'm sure you've been that girl too. But since everybody has won or come in second a couple times, I believe is a qualification. Is there any of that girl, or is this like that girl free?
I don't think events are ever that girl free.
That's a good answer. But here's your homework. Here's your homework. I want you to find a that girl and it just photograph her. You can say, we'll put it anonymously. I need to know that there's at least one that girl there.
Even among these, top of the top. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know what? If I know Leslie, she's going to turn out to be that girl, and she's not even riding. So
I am that girl today.
It's your birthday.
My birthday. I can do what I want.
That's right.
Yep.
Happy birthday, Leslie. I'm so glad you answered.
Oh, you guys are so sweet to give me a call. That makes me feel so special.
Well, you're part of the family.
Well, we've never done this. As I said, we never do this because it never works out for us. We get answering machines where people say rude stuff. We get the mother answering who are like, who the heck are you?
Or you know, it's like, you have reached 6, 2, 3, yes. And they're like, we get sued if we get off the number.
Aww. Well, thank you so much. You guys were the first ones. Just about to head over to the horse show. So you guys were the first ones to wish me a happy birthday today. So
happy birthday.
So
we'll see you, Leslie. When? Have a good time.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
Have a great weekend. Bye.
Bye.
Well, that was fun. I'm glad we did that.
Good idea. Good call.
5 years. It's the first time it's ever worked out to call somebody live on the air.
It's the first time for everything.
That's right. All right. Well, we're going to go to our first guest today. Dawn is here from Woodbine Racing. Of course, we do our behind the scenes at Woodbine, and Dawn has joined us before. She was here last year with us, and today we're going to talk about the different types of races, because to be honest, that kind of confuses me a little bit. Good morning, Dawn.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good. How are things up at Woodbine?
Oh, they're perfect. It's been a fantastic summer. The weather, for the most part, has cooperated. So we've had lots of races going on the turf course. So, it's been absolutely great.
Well, that's terrific. I know that we talked to you guys a couple of weeks ago, and things were very exciting getting ready for some big races. I'm glad.
Mile, baby. Come on, that was so exciting. Have you guys calmed down after that?
It was such a thrill. It was such a fantastic race to see a horse, Mondialite, the winner, come from where he was. It looked hopeless for him at the top of the stretch, but mm-hmm. What a furious rally. That race had people talking for days and days after. And yes, we are still talking about it. Yeah.
Okay, it was so great. It was so exciting.
Hey, Dawn, are you on a speaker? Are you on a speakerphone?
I'm on a headset. Do you want me to switch over?
Yeah, could you? It's just a little garbled.
Am I a little far away?
It's just a little garbled
echoing?
For us. Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay, hold on.
All right, no problem. Yeah,
All right, how's that?
Oh, much better. Now we can hear you much better.
Somewhat better? Yeah. Oh, okay. Good. I apologize.
Well, no problem. Now, I want to talk to you today about, because this has confused all of us who just follow racing a little bit, and that's the different mm-hmm. types of races and their qualifications, because there's like stakes races, and there's allowance races, and there's maidens, and it just goes on
claimers.
And on, and it claimers, and it's just so confusing. So I don't know how you want to explain it to us so we understand it, but could you give it a shot?
Well, sure. I mean, most of it boils down to trying to get horses of similar ability in against each other. So when horses first start out, they'll go in what is called a maiden race. And those are for horses that have never won a race. They all fit the same condition. They're all in the same boat. Some horses spend a long time in the maiden races. It takes them a long time to win. Some will be in there once and win their first start, and then they have to move on to a higher class. There's different levels of maidens. There's straight maidens where you're not in for a claiming price or for sale. And then there's claiming priced maidens as well, where if somebody wants to come up with the money before the race, they can buy your horse and they own it as soon as the gates open. So that's how they differentiate there. Again, it's everyone's trying to get in against horses that they feel that they can beat or at least are competitive with. So you're not going to put a cheaper horse or a less talented individual in again in a stake race, which stake races are the highest class. Those are the big purse events. A lot of them have entry fees that you have to pay. The other races, you don't have to pay an entry fee at all, but the stake races you do. And those pit the top against the top. And then there's everything in between. Again, a lot of claiming races, and those are just races that the horses are offered for sale. And some people would say, well, why would you do that? Well, I mean, you need to go in where you can have a reasonable shot of winning. So you find your level and you stick to it, and hopefully it works out in the long run.
Now, about claimers, first of all, I think it's a great idea for horse shows. I'd like to do some claimer horse shows. Here you go. This one's for sale. But
yes,
in the claiming races, about what percentage of horses are actually claimed? I mean, I know a lot of them just go right back to their barn.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The majority do. I mean, on any given day, in one day of racing, let's say we have six races that are claimers, you might get two or three horses that are claimed out of all of those horses, you know, six times an average of, let's say, 10 for field size, be 60 horses. So maybe one, two, or three will change ownership. Some days there'll be none. Other days there'll be more. And it kind of depends on the time of the year as well. Our racing season runs from April until the end of November. So, you know, you might see people more willing to claim earlier on in the year because then they have the rest of the year to recoup. But then at the end of the year too, you'll get, trainers will drop their horses down a little bit lower than they might earlier in the year. So you can find some bargains too. So yeah, it's all kind of dependent on where the horses are.
Gotcha. Gotcha. So, the claimers, who decides how much they're worth?
That would be a decision solely for the owners and the trainers to make.
Okay.
You don't want to put the horse in too high because then you just don't have any realistic expectation of making any money. They pay out with thoroughbreds, they pay right to, you know, right to last place, but it's very nominal for the horses that don't finish in the top five. Of course, the, higher up you finish, the more money you make. You know, first place is making 60% of the purse. So you want to have your horse, and that's where the claiming system is fantastic, because you're not going to put your horse in too low just to win the race, because there's a good chance you won't own him after. Right. And you don't want to put him in too high because you're still going to take him home, but you won't have made any money at the end of the day. So it really equalizes the playing field in terms of ability for the horses. And that makes it much better for the bettors, for the the people that handicap these races.
All right. I'm still
keeps
a little
everybody
confused.
Honest.
I'm still a little confused about the claimer.
Yeah.
Okay. So if it, let's say it's a $5,000 claiming race, just keep it simple. And I enter my horse. First of all, can he be claimed if he does not win or like in the top three?
Yes, the horse, as soon as the gate opens, the horse is loaded into the gate. As soon as the gate opens and the horse leaves the gate, he's yours. You've put your money in. It's all been done before the race. You know, there's the horseman's bookkeeper. Make sure that you have the money in the account. The money at that point, even if something horrible were to happen and something happened to the horse during the race, it's your horse.
So
you've
see,
now
that,
bought it.
That's
so,
where I was confused, because you're actually claiming the horse before the race starts. I always thought the claim happened after the race ended.
No, it's always before. And you can, if you think about it for a while, you can understand why it makes sense.
Right.
You know, if I put my horse in for 5,000, he wins by 10 lengths. The next time he runs, I'm probably not going to put him in the same class. I'm going to maybe put him in for 8,000 or 10,000 claiming. You know, I think he's a little bit better than the five. So, yeah, it's always easy to buy after, but it's the rules, you have to buy before.
So, technically, if there's 10 horses in the race, you could have 10 horses claimed in that race.
Sure. You could have them all claimed. Absolutely. Okay. Yeah, they are all for sale. It very rarely happens, because usually out of those 10, there's maybe a couple that, you know, are maybe on the way down. Maybe they need an easier class even. So, but yeah, so you're right. Yeah, they are absolutely all for sale.
And if two people want to claim the same horse in a race, does that ever happen?
Random. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There's, the most I've seen, I think, was 20.
Whoa!
And you know, it's so usually more normally would be maybe two, maybe three. And so they have, the clerk of scales has a little bottle with peas numbered, you know, little numbered balls. And it's just a random shake. They'll write down 1, 2, 3 on the different claiming envelopes, put the balls into the container, shake it, and whatever number comes out, that's the person that owns it.
High tech, baby. That's high tech right there.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Just like the good
it's
old
like
days.
The lottery.
It becomes a lottery for sure.
That's cool. Yeah. That's really cool. So then we've got, so kind of the bottom ones are the claimers, or the maidens are the horses that haven't won. And then we've got allowance and stakes. What are the difference? I guess allowance is higher up and then stakes is the highest. So an allowance race, what is that definition?
The allowance is the next logical step. Now, if I put my young horse into a maiden race and he wins, and it's not a claiming race, even though it could be a claiming race, but the next logical step, it would be the condition you could simplify to say it's an allowance race, but it's basically like a non-winners of two races lifetime. You know, the condition actually specifically reads, which have never won a race other than maiden claiming or restricted allowance, or which have never won two races. That's the first level allowance. And so that just puts all the horses that won their maiden, now they have one win. So now they go into that. The way the conditions read, though, you can understand it's which have never won a race other than maiden claiming. So if I had my horse in a claimer, I could win five or six races and still be eligible for the same class, this non-winners of two, because he fits though I've won claiming races. So it just it allows other horses to come in. But if you get a young horse, a promising, talented individual, he will race through his conditions pretty quickly. He'll win his maiden. He'll win the first level allowance race. Then there's a second level allowance race for non-winners of three. And at that point, then you're looking for stake races.
Gotcha. Okay. So then you said that it doesn't cost to enter a maiden or a claimer or an allowance, just the stakes races?
Yeah, exclusively in stake races. There will be a nomination fee that you originally pay, and that's fairly nominal, you know, $100 or a couple hundred dollars, depending on what the stake is, but it can be higher than that. And then at the time of entry, now you declare that you're entering, so now you pay a little bit more than that to get into the box, and that varies with what it's usually dependent on how much the purse is for that stake.
Gotcha. Now, I used to gallop racehorses at Keeneland. And one of the things, we were going to talk to you a little bit about the different people that work at Woodbine and kind of at racetracks all around the country. And I've got a list of people that Jennifer sent me of like to kind of run through and talk to you about what each person does. And the first thing on the list is the outrider. Okay. And I'll give everybody a brief definition of what an outrider does. An outrider is the person that is sitting on their horse talking on their cell phone while your horse runs away with you and gallops around the track totally out of control. Is that what they do? Because that's what mine did.
That's not good. No, I guess, yeah, that would be track dependent. We have some excellent outriders here led by a gentleman.
Canadian outriders are nicer, Jamie. They're nicer.
Our crew is fantastic. I've seen Rob himself catch more loose horses. Like, I mean, the guy is just, he's from out west. He's cowboy through and through. And he's got one horse that he favors to ride. It's an ex-runner, a quarter horse, a gray horse. His name is Grouch. And this thing is fast, and he can run down any horse. He's amazing to watch. Now, the outriders, they're there to ensure the safety for everyone and hopefully not be on the cell phone.
Is it the same outriders for warm-ups in the morning as it is in the races at night?
It can be. I know Rob Love has about five or six different people that sort of work with him. So they'll rotate through. Sometimes they'll get a morning off and then work the afternoon. Same thing with their horses. They don't always use the same horses, both in the morning and the afternoon.
Okay, so when the outrider in Canada catches the horse or the rider rides up to the outrider and says, "Where were you? What happened to you?" The outrider in Canada does not say, "You stopped, didn't you?"
Absolutely not.
I think you were being hazed there a bit, Jamie. I think that's what was happening.
My first runaway. Oh, you stopped, didn't you?
That's terrible.
You know, eventually he's right. All the horses do stop, don't they, Dawn? Yeah. Eventually,
they do get tired. Eventually, yes. Actually, it's funny because you, I'm sure you're familiar with Sandy Hawley. Everybody knows Sandy Hawley, world famous jockey who's now since retired, but he's got a great story from when he first started just like green as grass, got on a horse, didn't know anything about horses. He was young, 15 or 16 or something. And the trainer sent him out and the horse basically ran off on him. And they let him just sit and run. And then the horse finally stopped and Sandy got off and the guy said, yeah, you're going to make it. You stayed on. So it was like an initiation thing. And of course, Sandy Holly went on to become virtually a household name in terms of thoroughbred circles.
That's great. Well, that's a guy to do it too. That's amazing. Okay, so I'm like kind of like a mini Sandy Holly because I stayed on.
That's right.
Well, there you go.
Minus all the success and money. Minus that part. Yeah. Well, Dawn, thank you so much for joining us again. We really appreciate it. It's woodbineentertainment.com, correct?
Yes, that's correct. And it's always a treat to talk to the both of you.
Well, we're going to have you back because there's so much more to learn. And you know, we all go to the track and watch the horses and we all look at the programs and we only understand about half of it, but we bet anyway because it's fun. And, you know, most of us horse owners are going just to look at the pretty horses anyway, right? So, and then, Jamie's
gorgeous,
going to pick out her next eventer.
So
that's what the rest of us do. But thank you so much for clearing some of this up for us.
No, anytime. Next time, maybe we'll talk about how to pick winners.
All right, good. That'll be good, too.
Yeah, please, let us
okay.
know.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Thanks
thank
a bunch.
You.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Just clearing some definitions of jobs up. That's all I was doing. Just trying to find out what people's jobs were, you know.
That's right.
I guess they're different in Kentucky and Canada. And the guy's cell phone is like the size of a shoe at that point because it was a long time ago. And like, I didn't even know people had cell phones. I didn't have one. And he's sitting there like on this, you know, giant boot phone thing. And he's just talking, watching me run by. I know I've told the story.
I tell you that was intentional. You were being hazed.
I was being hazed.
Hey, we have to do a nutrition minute with Kentucky Performance Products. And then we're coming back to talk a little eventing and what's going on in Kentucky right now. A little long versus short format. And kind of a little bit of a revival over there. So, but first, we have to go to Kentucky. And we have to go to Kentucky Performance Products, and we'll be right back. This Nutrition Minute is brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products, the company that simplifies your search for research-proven nutritional supplements at kppusa.com.
Have you heard of a yeast called Saccharomyces boulardii? It's a type of probiotic that benefits your horse's digestive tract. Often referred to as S. boulardii, it works in several different ways. One unique property of S. boulardii is that it supports the stimulation of the enzymes found in the intestinal lining. These enzymes help your horse digest starches and sugars in the small intestine. When the sugars and starches are more completely digested, fewer of them escape into the hindgut where they can ferment and cause imbalances that may lead to colic, diarrhea, and laminitis. Saccharomyces boulardii is found in Nalox Advanced, made by Kentucky Performance Products. Nalox Advanced contains a blend of yeast, fermentation solubles, and stomach buffers. These ingredients work together to maintain your horse's digestive tract in peak condition. Nalox Advanced is recommended for horses of all ages and stages and is fed on a daily basis.
This Nutritional Minute has been brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. You can find all of their terrific products at kppusa.com.
Well, we're going to stick with the Kentucky theme. We talked about being in Kentucky, then we went to Kentucky Performance Products, and now we're going to talk about a horse trial in Kentucky with one of the kind of, Mary is, I can't even tell you, Mary is kind of the heart and soul of eventing in Kentucky. Mary Fike, hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Fantastic. Thank you so much for coming on to talk about the Haggard Mid-South 3-Day Event Team Challenge. I competed in the 3-day event. I don't think I was on a team a long time ago. It's been going on for so long.
It has. In fact, I think I've even forgotten what the original date was that we started. It was back in the 80s.
Yeah.
it's So yes, it's been gone. It's been going for quite a while, and it's become quite a fixture in the calendar in this part of the country, and has grown and changed over a period of years. But still, I think it tries to keep the friendly, camaraderie, sportsmanship attitude that we like about eventing, even though it is a fairly large event.
So tell everybody what it is, because I mean, it's got a sponsor now. It was just Mid-South when I rode in it. But what is the Haggard Mid-South 3-day event and team challenge?
Well, the Haggard Mid-South titling reflects the title sponsorship that the Haggard right. Equine Medical Institute gave us. So just the title has changed. It is a combination of a CCI One Star, which is the USEF National One Star Championships. It's a FEI international event. And a combination of what everybody calls Team Challenge, which is horse trials run in a team format where you have a team of four horses competing, and the top team score is the winner. And we only do that through the beginner novice, through the preliminary level, and then the CCI One Star is the international FEI level. In addition to that, we have added over the years the training 3-day classic format and the preliminary 3-day classic format, which is what we think of as the original 3-day event, both run at the preliminary level and the training level. So it's a full weekend.
So tell everybody, kind of explain the difference between you talk about the 3-day format. That's the kind of the long format. What is the long format versus the short format?
Well, the long format has three additional phases in what is called the endurance day, typically the second day. It's the same as what we think of as horse trials, in that they do their dressage on one day, but on the, typically it's the Saturday, they will go out and trot 20, 25 minutes at a trot, 220 meters a minute, and then they will hit phase B, which is a steeplechase phase, and that's usually about a 3.5 minute, it could be upwards of, 600 meters a minute gallop over 4 to 5 brush fences, very much like you see on the steeplechase racing courses. Mm-hmm. And then they do a third phase, which is about two-thirds, again, as long as phase A. They come into the box, the 10-minute box, where their temperature, their pulse, and their respiration they're taken by the vets, and their recovery is monitored. They're jogged to make sure that they're sound, and that after a 10-minute break, they head out on what we think of as typically the cross-country phase, phase D. At a 3-day event, it can run that phase can be a little longer than the typical horse trials course, but it is truly a test of the endurance and stamina of the horse. And at these levels, a test where the riders can see how well they have prepared their horses. They have to do aerobic exercising with the wind on sprints. They have to do long trots so that the horses can recover, as well as being able to jump a good cross-country route. So it is a true test of horsemanship on that day. Then on the Sunday, they have a horse inspection where they are jogged again to make sure that the horses were not injured in any way on that Saturday. And then if all is cleared by the vets and the panel, they go forward to the show jumping, and the winner of all of that is the champion of the day.
Gotcha. Now, what's special about the Mid-South, Haggard Mid-South, is that you do the team challenge. And I recently, last time I competed, did a team challenge here in Arizona. And what uh-huh. they did for us was, you have four riders, and then you drop one of the scores. So three scores count, and then to get kind of the highest team. And typically, Mary, I am the drop score.
I was just going to say, they do that just for you, don't they, Jamie?
Yes. So it's got to be somebody. So I am typically the drop score. So how does the team challenge work in Kentucky?
Well, it's very much the same way. You you can compete with a three-man team. We encourage everybody to have four, obviously, because of the drop score. And each member of the team goes in a different dressage arena. So each of the teams get equal exposure to all the different judges that we've got. And throughout the whole entire competition, the low score is dropped per se, but they're not out of the competition because that may change. You may not tally your low dressage score on that Saturday, but then somebody who did well in dressage may have a problem in cross country, in which case they become the low score. So it's not until the last day at the end of the stadium rides that you really have a feel on which is going to be your drop score. So it can change, and not, you know, team members need to keep their, you know, keep their game on because their score counts. And of course you have to finish three to even finish a team to be in the awards as a team.
See,
so,
and I think, Mary, that consistency should be honored. And if you're consistently the worst score every day, I think that should be, you should get a prize.
Well, I maybe that's an idea. I can look at that for future years. Maybe you ought to pressure your team members into doing something for you in the meantime.
Nobody wants the black ribbon. Nobody wants that one.
Well,
so,
you know what? You know,
Taryn Atkinson out at Copper Meadows told me that it was my first horse trial with my current competition horse, and she said that they give a prize for the DFL award, and that is the person who comes in dead blanking last, but still finishes. You know, like not an E on your name. It is the highest score of the day. And I was the one to win that award. So I would like to stand up and thank everybody. I'd like to thank my owners, my handlers. Wait, that's me. But you know what? I think the DFL score should take into account all over the country. So I would like to see at Mid-South a DFL.
Okay, well, it might be a little late for us to get it in place now because we're about a month away, but yeah. I will definitely.
We'll donate the crappy prize, Mary. We'll donate a crappy prize for the DFL award, okay?
Well, come and award it. We'll put you out in the ring and take the picture. That'd be great.
That'd be great.
That's perfect.
In honor of Horse Radio Network.
Yeah. Hey, Mary.
Yeah, absolutely.
The long format, it used to be that all 3 days were the long format way back when. And now that, you know, that it's become a nostalgia thing, really, to do the long format now. And combined driving, it's still done. It's, you know, they still have the long format. It's never changed. But how many entries do you have? And do you see a little bit of a resurgence or people doing it for nostalgia's sake? What's it been like that way?
Well, we have always had a strong entry in the training 3 day. I think we're at this point, we're knocking at 55 for this year. And it's been strong ever since. The preliminary 3 day is not as full. I think our record has been 10 this year. I think we're looking at 8. The difficulty with the preliminary 3 day is that, one, you are at a serious level of competition. I mean, I don't think anybody scoffs at preliminary. But it doesn't qualify you for anything anymore. So those riders that are on the FEI path trying to get their one stars and go on up the international ladder, that event doesn't qualify them for anything. So a lot of the professionals bypass it, and which is a shame. It's understandable. But we are the last one in the country to continue to offer the preliminary long format, and we'll continue to do so as long as we've got entries. We have wonderful support from Dan and Lisa Mendel. They give absolutely gorgeous embroidered wool dress sheets and stall plaques as an incentive to get people to join the preliminary 3 day and to also recognize the work that it takes to get in, you know, to get there in the beginning. So they're a huge part of that, keeping it going.
Of course, the other thing that makes this show special, and we can't overlook that, is it's at the Kentucky Horse Park. Now, when it started way, way back, you know, 30 years ago, was it always at the Kentucky Horse Park? And of course, the park's changed a bit since then.
No, actually, the roots of the competition, what we think of as the original Team Challenge, was co-hosted between the Mid-South Combined Training Association and the Michigan Combined Training Association, and it was held over at Masterson Station Park, which is a 600-acre city park, open and free for all for equestrian use. And the first year that I stepped in to organize it, I think we had 45 entries. And at the time, the horse park was opening up its gates to competitions, and we thought it would be fun to move it over to the horse park because they actually had stalls on grounds, and we've never looked back. And yes, the horse park has changed and grown up, and a lot of the amenities have proven to, you know, be absolutely wonderful, but there is still a lot of land. There is still a good place to do the chase. There are lots of places to do the A and C phases, and of course the cross country is wonderful, and we have the added benefit of being able to irrigate and aerate the course if we've had a particularly hard or dry season. So there are a lot of advantages.
And, well, not to mention some really, really nice footing in the arenas now.
The footing is wonderful. Yeah.
I didn't know, but we lived right across the street from Masterson. As a matter of fact, when I first met Jamie, she came out to see us, and we were in that house that's right across the street from Masterson. I didn't know they used to do events there. I knew there was that people would out there and cross country school, but I never knew there were actually events there years ago.
Yeah, in fact, some of the remnants of the original fences are still there. They were built by Helmut and Andy Grotz, two huge supporters of eventing back in the day. And now the only recognized event that's held at Masterson is in the early spring, in April, it's the Spring Bay Horse Trials, and it runs starter through preliminary, and it's just a season opener here in Area 8. But there are a couple of unrecognized competitions at Masterson, and there is a group, the Masterson Equestrian Trust Foundation is a nonprofit group that has banded together to keep that park open for equestrian use. And so they have begun some maintaining of the courses and mowing of galloping paths and doing some things that really strap the city. So it is an absolute gem for us to have here because you can always go and condition your horses and get in a sand ring or jump a few cross country courses. And of course, the horse park is not open for general schooling. You can't just drive in there when you feel the need to go to school.
You can't just drive in anywhere anymore. I mean, Masterson, is it? Now, I know we're not here to talk about Masterson, but that's a whole nother topic for another day. What an amazing place. And of course, it's right next to the jail and was kind of worked with the city. Like, you're going to put a jail here. You got to put a park. I mean, it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is amazing. Mary, when is the team? When is the event?
The event is the last weekend it's the 21st through the 25th of October.
Okay, fantastic. And it is the longest running team challenge in the U.S. And it also has a Facebook page, and we'll post the link to that. And Mary, thank you for all that you do for the eventing community. I'm pretty sure you're involved with Rolex too. I mean, you're all the way up the ladder. So we appreciate you taking out the time to come talk to us and be involved with us and tell us about the Haggard Mid-South.
Well, I'm very glad to be here, and thank you for the opportunity to showcase something that I think is fairly special and fairly unique. And hopefully one day you'll get a chance to come visit us.
Oh, it's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. Anybody who wants to just go and spectate, you can go and watch it. You can go and compete in it just to have a good time. And thank you, Mary, for being on with us. And we will talk to you again soon, hopefully afterwards, and we'll get kind of the story and what happened and who dropped their scores and stuff.
Absolutely.
All right. Talk to you soon, Mary. Thanks.
Right.
Bye.
Have a great day. Bye.
You too. Bye. Yeah, want names.
Yeah, she's been around over there for as long as I can ever remember. Yeah. I mean, doing that. Yeah, I didn't realize that they had run this event at Masterson. I knew they did the smaller ones, but that's really cool.
I remember doing a dressage show at Masterson, and there is the dressage
up
rings
on the
are
hill.
Like, on top of the hill.
Yep, that's right.
And I'm sorry, you taking off the track thoroughbred who's at the top of a hill with the wind blowing up their butt. Oh my God.
It's like one of the highest spots in Lexington. Yeah.
It was a nightmare. It was always a nightmare. So it was like who stayed in the arena would win. It was fun, though. It was fun.
All right. Well, let's take a break for our song. We also have to hear from Equestrian Collections, and then we'll be back. We have a little Rodeo Life by Stephanie Quayle, and then we're going to be back because it's Really Bad Ads Day today.
We haven't played a little
Hi, Glenn here, and I am back with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. What do we have this week, Debbie?
Well, this week I'm featuring a new vendor that we have here at Equestrian Collections called Betancourt. Now, the product I'm going to feature today is the Cool Elements Polo Shirt. It's a short sleeve polo. I'll be featuring some of the longer sleeves when it gets a little cooler. This product comes from the world of golf. And if anybody knows how to do comfortable sporting clothing, it's the golf people. And I got one of these immediately when we got them up because I love the colors. You have got to see those colors. They come in orange and lime green and teal blue and purple. They're just gorgeous. So I said, I better buy one of these because I really like it and I want to see how the fit is. The fit is gorgeous. Perfect fit. The size chart we have on the website is very accurate. I know that because I used it specifically for myself. This polo shirt is so comfortable. It's very light. It's got some of the all-in fashion meshing underneath the arms. Very cool and very pretty. Totally think that the listeners would love it. The one I got is a polo shirt. It has buttons down the front instead of the zipper, which to me is good because that I have enough of those things that stick you in the bottom of your throat when you unzip it. This is very comfortable. Would be great for trail riding. It's not a show shirt. It's definitely a comfortable everyday shirt or a trail riding shirt. And it's a little expensive at $68 for trail riding, but let me tell you, it is so comfortable. You will be happy, happy, happy you spent that money. Plus, you have all these way cool colors to choose from. So check it out. It's Bet, B-E-T-T-E, ampersand court, C-O-U-R-T, Bet and Court, Cool Elements Polo. You'll love it. Trust me.
At EquestrianCollections.com. And don't forget to follow them on Facebook. Just search for Equestrian Collections.
Up and put her faded jeans on, stared out the window at those rusty barrels glistening in her field of dreams. She packed up the trailer with the saddle mama gave her, put in a quarter, his name was Savior. This is her time, we're gonna watch her shine. She started raising barrels when she was 10. Was the same day they said her mom would never walk again. Now she's doing this for her, she's doing this for them, cause she says her mom one day will walk again. It's a long, long, long road. It's a long, long, long road to the rodeo. He dusted off a picture of his daddy winning. That belt buckle, he was a champion years in a row. He gave quite a show. Since his dad passed, he promised that he'd come home a winner while eating supper with his family. He's heading up his house, you see. He started roping cattle when he was 10. His daddy's swinging rope. He wanted to be just like him. Now he's doing this for him, he's doing this for them. He's got a family to feed and he's not even 20 yet. It's a long, long, long road. It's a long, long, long road to the rodeo. Oh, the anthem song. Fans hold their breath, the stopwatch blows, here comes the show. It's a long, long, long road. It's a long, long, long road. You got the barrel racing ladies, the clowns in the corner, the bull riding in tonight. You got the calf roping cowboy down from Wyoming. He's come here to change his life. Yeah, dreams are gonna happen tonight. Heartbreak is gonna happen tonight. Yeah, this is the rodeo life, the rodeo life.
You know what? If I could sing like that, I would never talk. I would sing everything.
I know. She has a beautiful voice. That's Stephanie Quayle. She has a beautiful voice.
Yep. Stephanie Quayle, Rodeo Life. You're listening to horses.
See,
in
the thing is, Jamie, you can't sing like that. So.
brought to you by, I won't even sing our sponsor, they'll pull out. Yeah. By Kentucky Performance Products. Check them out at kppusa.com. And thank you guys for joining us. Now, before we get to really bad ads, I wanted to talk about this at the beginning of the show, but I was too wordy and took too much time. So we had to skip it. I want to get
your eyeballs out first.
It's all my fault. The Little Brown Jug happened this week, and I'm looking for it's one of those races that, you know, is a harness race, and it's one of the most exciting ones for pacing standardbreds. But I was like, you know what? I don't really know.
It's part of their Triple Crown, right?
It's part of their Triple Crown, and it's named after a horse named Little Brown Jug, which might be just the best standardbred racehorse name ever. But I just did a little Wikipedia search, so I'll give you a little background, and then we're going to play this year's Little Brown Jug. It's a harness race for three-year-old pacers. It's at the Delaware County Agricultural Center. It hosts it at the county fairgrounds in Delaware, Ohio. It takes place every year on the third Thursday after Labor Day. And along with the Hambletonian, which is the race for trotters, it's one of the two most coveted races for standardbred horses. Little Brown Jug was a pacer who won 9 consecutive races and became the USTA Hall of Fame immortal in 1975, and the event is named in his honor. So it happened this past Thursday. So here, yesterday, I guess. So here it is.
Oops. There we go.
Sorry.
We should get it.
Of the Little Brown Jug. And pacing fast out of the gate on the outside, My Hero Ron. In between horses, Lost for Words. Racing third, Wiggle It Jiggle It. Taking a seat fourth, Arch Speak. And the battle's on early on.
You heard that.
Though, the leader,
Wiggle It Jiggle It.
Going to the backside, Lost for Words. Tucking in second as they race over to the first quarter mark. My Hero Ron, Wiggle It Jiggle It third, Arch Speak fourth. Rocking in Heaven outside fifth, opening quarter, 27 seconds. And here comes Wiggle It Jiggle It. Now third, now second, after the leader, Lost for Words. At the 3/8 mark, into the lane first time, Lost for Words with the lead. Wiggle It Jiggle It up on the outside second. Nose to nose, stride for stride, toe to toe, coming to the half. 54-1. 27-1, second panel, racing third, My Hero Ron, up on the outside, Arch Speak, now fourth, racing fifth, Yankee Bounty, sixth on the inside, going to the backside, RK Hanover, racing seventh, Rocking in Heaven, the battle continues, it turning into a war, Lost for Words, Wiggle It Jiggle It, at the three quarters, 21-1, 27 seconds, and they're still going at it. Lost for Words, Wiggle It Jiggle It. The battle of the fittest around the turn. Lost for Words has the lead and starts to open up. Wiggle It Jiggle It on the outside second. Can anybody catch him from the back? Coming home, Lost for Words, Wiggle It Jiggle It. Coming home, Lost for Words, Wiggle It Jiggle It. A final surge.
Wiggle It Jiggle It takes it by a nose. It was like a battle the entire way. It was such an exciting race. And I'm so sad to announce that Wiggle It Jiggle It is a gelding. Because how awesome would it be to have Wiggle It Jiggle It as a sire and all the fun names that you could come up with from that, you know, like Wiggle It Jiggle It was bred to Special Lady, and it's like Wiggle 'em Jiggle 'em, you know. I don't know, you'd come up with such fun there. Jiggle Lady,
and
you know, whatever.
And you know, this horse is quite amazing. It's 17 wins out of 20 races now, and it was the favorite going in, but boy, the other horse just gave him a run down to, they were literally nose to nose. And it is kind of fun watching the pacing races because their little feet look like they're going so damn fast.
Yeah, they are. It's amazing.
Really cool to watch. And you mentioned too, had you ever went to the Red Mile when you were in Lexington?
Oh, yeah. My thing at the Red Mile was, it's the first time I ever started betting, because you don't see these very often, 99 to 1. There's always a 99 to 1 in every race at the Standard Bred Track. And I would always just put $2, and I thought someday it'll pay off. And
you know,
I won it one
time. That is one of my favorite racetracks in the entire country, the Red Mile, just because it feels like you walked back into the 1920s.
Yeah.
You know, it's very nostalgic. They usually have a band there, and they have all kinds of activities, and they barbecue going, and they have first time I've ever seen quarter horse racing was at the Red Mile too.
Yeah,
in Lexington. If you go to Lexington and the running races and races, the race card is happening at the Red Mile, go see it. It's worth seeing once. It really is. But a new hero over in the harness racing side, Wiggle It, Jiggle It.
He was 1-5. Like, he is a super favorite in that world. So anyway, just a little taste.
Can you claim them? I could claim him and have a really fast, like, cart horse.
I bet that he is not available for claimers. Hey, I got one more news story before we get to really bad ads, and that is a congratulations.
Oh.
Congratulations goes out to Boyd and Silva Martin.
Yeah.
They just had a baby. They have a little boy, Knox Christoph Martin. So congratulations to both of them. And the picture on Eventing Nation looks like Boyd is the one that had the C-section. Like, really?
It is. It just
you're
like
a disaster. Get out of her bed. Get up. Move over. That is her bed. You are not supposed to be in it. You look like hell. You're just the man. You didn't do nothing. You didn't carry the thing for 9 months. Let's be honest. You did one thing, and it happened a long time ago, and you should be just...
Actually, I thought it was... Silva's been taking a lot of pictures of Boyd and the baby together.
Really?
Yeah, she really has. So, again, I didn't know Silva was pregnant. I missed that for some reason. There's been all these people here, and one of our friends from Lexington, I didn't know it was pregnant either. All of a sudden, I'm seeing baby pictures. So,
well, you know, it's just going
to
happen. And it was probably a good time, you know, with her recent falls and stuff, probably a great time for her to take a little break and have the kid, you know. It's fantastic. I'm super
cute
excited.
Cute as a button, too.
I'm sorry. They're both very beautiful people.
I know. You're going to end up with
the
cute as a button baby. That's right. Hey, equitymfg.com.
Let's
time
do it.
Time for this.
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader. Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right. It is time for the EquityMFG.com, a really bad ads. Now, we're heading off, as everybody knows, because we've been announcing it every day, we're heading off to Disney World next week, and we're going to be coming to you live from there on Wednesday. And one of our listeners posted that they had, when they were over at Animal Kingdom, they had an Equity Flex and Fork sighting.
Yes.
Yeah, remember? Well, we're going to be keeping an eye out at the stables because we're getting a tour. We're going to be keeping an eye out to see if we find more Equity Flex and Forks in the wild. We're gonna
and then next month when you go to Monty Roberts, they're so recognizable with the blue handle and the yellow tines. But you'll see at Monty Roberts, that's what they use there too. All Flex and Forks.
See, there you go. You know, you got Disney, you got the Mickey Mouse using Flex and Forks. You got Monty Roberts using Flex and Forks. What more do you want? And, you know, I actually, Jennifer posted an old picture of me with my Flex and Fork on Horses in the Morning. If you scroll down a little bit, you'll see it. And one of our listeners said, is that... Well, let me get the quote exactly. She said, this is the perfect Pitchfork ad. Is that the one you rave about? And really, I think what she was trying to say, is that the one you rant endlessly about? And yes, it is. That is the one. And that it picture is at least, was when we first moved here. So it's almost four years old. And we're still using that same one. Mm-hmm. That same Flex and Fork is the one we're still using that's in that picture. So that tells you how you cannot say that for one of the $25 ones you're going to buy at Tractor Supply. You just can't. It lasts a very long time. They're tough. They're sturdy. And you know what? We don't need to say more. Monty uses them and Mickey Mouse uses them. So there you go.
The two larger than life characters. Yes.
Now, I doubt when we're there, I'm going to be able to give this report because I doubt they're going to want us to say anything about any of the products that are in the barn without paying.
I doubt that you're going to get a picture of Mickey or Monty cleaning a stall. How about that? Here's what we're going to doubt.
EquityMFG.com. Get yours today if you haven't already. Well, we're going to do a very simple prize for today because it's pumpkin spice latte season. That's right. Oh, it's fall. It's
everything's pumpkin.
Everything is pumpkin.
That's 105 yeah, but you gotta, degrees. I don't want nothing hot.
You know what, though? I think Starbucks gets credit for really starting the pumpkin spice latte. I mean, they're the ones that made it popular. So we're giving down away a $10 Starbucks gift card, and you can go get probably, what, 1.5 pumpkin spice lattes for $10 at
They're like
Starbucks.
$4, so you can get probably two and a half. It just depends on if you get the grande, venti, or whatever else the heck size they are. Because the grandes are little, right?
Yeah,
no.
Yeah, it's backwards.
Tall is small. Yeah, I don't know. I just always go, I'll take a medium, and they're like, you mean a grande? I'm like, no, a freaking medium.
Do you ever give them the wrong name when they ask? People do that all the time at Starbucks. Do you give them a made-up name?
Oh, my gosh. Like Bart Simpson?
Yeah, like those something like that. Yeah. People do that all the time there. Because
Amanda Hug and Kiss?
That's it. Yep, that's right.
Amanda Hug and Kiss. Amanda Hug and Kiss. I need Amanda Hug and Kiss. I'm funny today.
Your pumpkin spice grande latte is ready.
Your 2.5 pumpkin. So that's what you get if you win is you. Glenn is sending you to Starbucks.
That's
on
right.
him. You can buy yourself and your significant other a venti tall pumpkin spice with. Do they have almond milk yet? No, soy milk probably.
I don't know. I don't like coffee, so when I go there, I get the hot chocolate, which, by the way, is the best hot chocolate in the world, is at Starbucks. It's $25 for a glass, but it's good.
I'm a chai tea latte girl myself.
Really bad ads. Let's get to them. Thank you, everybody, for submitting. These are really, if you're new to the show, and I know we have a lot of new listeners here lately, these are really bad ads that have been submitted by our listeners. They find them usually on Craigslist or other places that advertise horses and things. And they're mostly about horses, but they can be anything farm-related. So the first one was sent to us by Beth, and it's an eight-year mare quarter times Morgan, intermediate kids horse, or a speed horse.
That's the title?
Yes. Oh, it's not the entire ad. That's the title. Tora is a super sweet horse, comes 90% of the time. She needs a firm, gentle hand and an intermediate rider because she can be pushy if you let her get away with stuff. She is heavy-footed. Does that mean she stomps on your foot and it really hurts? I have no idea what heavy-footed means. She has a fast walk, loads good, lungs great, also good with fly spray, and loves attention.
Why do people feel the need to say that you, like, of all the things that you could say, good with fly spray?
That's
is
because
not
there wasn't a lot of good things to say. So you throw in every little thing you can think of. I mean, when you read the line, a super sweet horse comes 90% of the time. And then the next line is she needs a firm, gentle hand and an intermediate rider. You know what you're dealing with here.
You know what you're dealing with. Lungs are great, though.
Yeah, the lungs are great. Terrific lungs.
Oh, yep. That's terrible. Robin sent in the next one, Project Horse for $325. Well, what a deal. 6 to 7-year-old Sorrel Gelding. Great confirmation. Quick mover. stocky about 15-ish hands. Halterbroke has had round pin work, has been out to pasture almost 3 years now. Will require horse experience.
Yeah, probably.
So if the horse is six and it's been out to pasture for 3 years, oh, it's only halter broke. Oh, what a deal. It's a great project.
Well, at least it's not $1,400. Look at the picture. It's like $325.
The picture is kind of the funniest part where it's so blurry.
You can't see the horse at all.
You can't really see the horse. I think it's got a blaze.
Standing in some kind of pen.
Yeah.
It probably has never been out of the pen in 3 years either.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank you, Robin. James sent the following one in. Horses trade or sale, $2,000 in Tampa. Reg, AQHA, Dunn, mare, 14.2 hands. She is a sweet girl, but she does have energy and she does not tire. I have taken her down the road. Not bad, a little barn sour. She does have her spook moments, nothing too bad. She is not a horse that should just sit. She likes to go. Needs experienced rider just because she does know what she is doing, and she is not a deadhead by no means. She is fun. We'll consider trade for the right, W-R-I-G-H-T, horse. Must be 100% safe and no spook.
So when they say she has her spooky moments, yeah, and then they're desperately seeking a horse with no spook. Spooky,
yeah,
moments are big moments for this horse.
Yeah, this horse is taking him down the road at a dead gallop.
Yep.
A little. Yep. I love how everything was the bad thing followed by a good thing. So she's a sweet girl, but does have energy, but she doesn't tire. I've taken her down the road. She's not bad, but a little barn sour. Everything's followed. It's so cute how they wrote this one.
Yeah, cute's a word. Edna sent in the next one. Edna, Mustang gliding broke.
Gliding broke?
Mustang gliding broke! Exclamation points for days.
Practicing for a reining test, obviously.
$600 in Archdale. Husband-proof horse. Safe for husbands and kids four and up. Let me step outside.
3 year olds, it's not safe for.
Yeah, but so a husband is equal to a 4 year old around a horse.
Yes, that's pretty much true. She's got it right.
Oh my gosh. Husband safe horse, safe for husbands and kids four and up. ... Will cross anything, ... Ride anyone, no problem. This horse will ride anyone. Vet checked and all clear for takeoff. He's a six-year-old gliding around 1515 hands. 1,515 hands. That's what it says. $600 gets him today. It almost makes me angry how broke this horse is.
That has to be the quote of the week. I've never heard that before.
Taurus is so broke, it makes me angry.
Not proud, angry. That's the quote of the week. I need to cut that one out. We need to cut that one out and have that as a sound file.
Yep. Great.
I recorded the Australian episode that'll be out next Thursday with Fiona last night. And she sent this ad in. She said, I got an ad. I have to send it to you because she listens all the time down there in Australia. It's a single horse float. Now, that's their version of a horse trailer. And this is our horse trailer of the week.
Sort of.
She said, the ad says a horse float needs a little TLC and a wheel bearing. Now, I don't even know how to describe this, but she did. She sent an email to me. She said, you see these all the time running around Australia. And I thought maybe it would be because there's no windows, there's no holes of any kind in this bizarre looking trailer, that it was maybe used for kangaroos, is what my initial thought was, because I don't know how you'd put a horse in there. Can you describe? You might just have to go to her Facebook and look. I don't know that you can describe this.
Yeah, so you know what? It's a plywood, and it's a weird shape. It's not even a normal shape. So what I was thinking, Glenn, is probably there's a hole in the top, and that's where the giraffe neck comes out.
Well, it could be.
Because it's about it, the width of a giraffe. I mean, it's very narrow, oblong, weird shaped, and it looks like the shape of a giraffe's back. And then there'd be a hole in the top for the giraffe neck to pop out. So that's what it is.
You know,
it's a giraffe hauler.
In the next hour, I could Photoshop it, and it would be a giraffe hauler.
Oh, please. Do a giraffe out of that. That's perfect.
Thank you, Fiona, for sending that in from Australia. I'm glad to see we're not the only ones with really crappy trailers. Looks like it's a common thing.
Kangaroos could jump out of that hole, though, so ooh, put a cap on it. This next one was sent in by somebody who doesn't have a name, just sent their email. So if your email is cape something else, put your name on there so you can get credit. 15 hand tri-colored horse, $1,200 in Lafayette. Oh, Lord have mercy. That's in the South. Medium size 15 hand tri-colored mayor horse.
Mayor horse.
Mayor, M-A-Y-O-R.
It's the mayor.
Up to date on all things. Lee adds two front shoes, and she's a good Lee horse who can do just about anything. I cannot care for her anymore because I've taken up chicken showing. And I have no time to give this gem of a whore the time she needs. I'll trade for more show quality chickens, but I gonna need to see them before because I need to assess them. Thank you. That's it.
God.
Oh, that's so good.
Can I care for her because I've taken up chicken showing?
Oh my God, that's so good.
That's a first in 5 years.
I can't take care of this horse no more because I got them, the damn chickens out back. I gotta groom them and bathe them, and
I will need to see them first. Two asses. That's what she said.
First two asses. Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
you're right. I did. I even gave him too much credit. I'll need to see him first. Two asses.
Oh, God, that was good, Cape. That was really good. Martha sent in, my face hurts. Martha sent in the following one. Must sell saddle to defend friend's honor. $100 free.
What?
Shipping. Oh, this is a good one. Desperately need to sell this nearly new, no brand, 18-inch saddle, regular gullet brown dressage saddle. It has been recently discovered that my best friend's husband is a certified scumbag. I am heading the 200 miles to see her this weekend to help her forget about all that and pretend we are not adults by going apple picking and corn mazing and dress shopping and buying Tabasco sauce in bulk to sprinkle on every last pair of underwear he left at the house and to fill his boots with horse poo. I know it's futile, but it's satisfying. I will make the trip regardless, but I would really like some moolah to spend on all the tubs of ice cream and bad movie rentals and, of course, the Tabasco sauce. I would like $100 for the saddle, but that includes free shipping. If you want some super cool hinged irons with some brown leather, but definitely not same color as the saddle, add $20. If you want an ugly saddle pad that actually fits perfectly under it, that's free with the purchase. Just ask. I have a beast in a box and will ship out. I have the beast in a box and will ship out as soon as possible, or local pickup, or anywhere along the way to Minnesota.
I'll just drop it off.
Certified scumbag. We're gonna put Tabasco sauce on his underwear.
Tubs of ice cream and bad. That's a good BFF right there. I'll sell my saddle to go hang out with my friend whose husband's a dirtbag, and we're gonna buy Tabasco sauce, put it in his panties, and then we're gonna get some ice cream and bad movies.
God, these are good ads today.
That's a bunch of good ads. Oh my gosh. All right, Paige sent in the next one. Did you have something else you want to
add? No, I'm done.
That's hilarious. I'll meet you at the rest area in Minnesota.
I want to go on the trip. Hell with buying the saddle.
I know. Sounds fun. Paige, send in the next one. Paige, 7-year-old quarter horse, $1,000 in Hope Mills. I have a very broken sweet horse. I got it from my girlfriend of 2 years, and she left me for another guy, so I have no reason to keep it.
That's a
Let me read it the way he meant to say it. I have a very broken sweet horse that belongs to my girlfriend, and she has no idea I'm going to sell it because that bitch cheated on me with some other dude, and I don't want to keep her crap around. My name is Cody. Text me to come out and just look him over. Thank you. Oh, Lord, there's a lot of sad people in Craigslist today. We should call Cody and put him to hang out with the girl selling the dressage saddles friend.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
We could matchmake a little bit.
That's right.
It's genius.
Uta sent in the following one. Buckskin Mare. M-A-I-R-E. It's a Mary. $1,500. Mount Vernon. Hi, I'm looking for a new home for my 14-year-old buckskin quarter horse. Horse experience is a must. Seems to be that way for all the horses for sale today. Have to be a confident rider. She is a very big horse and can seem intimidating, especially when she pins her ears. She has some skin issues, but they can be cleared up. No big deal. She hasn't been ridden for over a year. Sweet mare, but is very skittish and will need work to be reliable and safe. Good project for someone with a lot of time and experience. Note, she does know how to open gates and gets loose at times, which they really meant to put all the time. Electric fence is also a must. Pictures available upon request.
You know what? Maybe if you got her a new home, she wouldn't escape all the time because she didn't want to leave. She wants to get the hell out of your place. I'll tell you that.
And I always love when they don't put a picture and they put a pictures available upon request. Like it's something special that you can't see their horse's picture because it's one ugly bear.
Jeez, it's so funny.
Oh, this is a perfect one to end a day.
Okay. Barbie sent in this one. Is this our happy Barbie? Oh, Lord. These are also funny. I don't know how we're going to pick. Hungry, tired, lonely. Check out our hay for sale. This is in Citra. Round bales for sale, $25 a bale. Don't have livestock to feed hay to? It's okay. There's lots you can do with our hay. 10 things you can do with round bales, even if you don't have cows. Number one, create an obstacle course and practice for American Ninja Warrior. Number two, put a needle in it. Find it. Number three, pull stalks out of the sides of the bale and voila, abstract art masterpiece. Number four, ride horses, make a huge cross-country jump. You aren't going to get to Rolex jumping cross rails, people. Jump could also be repurposed for dog or rabbit obstacle course, or in fact, any jumpy animal. If your animal loves to jump, a round bale could be the perfect gift. Number five, prepare now for enormous nativity scene with lots of hay lining the manger.
Don't be able to see the baby. That would just be hay.
Number six, make straw hats and baskets and keychains. The opportunities are endless. Number seven, donate a bale or ten to a hungry cow or a hungry goat or a hungry llama, a hungry horse. Number eight, add two pieces of coal and a corn cob pipe and watch as your new hay man stares at you with his baleful expression.
It's bad fun day.
Number nine, buy a cow. Preferably name her Bessie. She's going to need something to eat. Am I right? And round bales, 10 things to do with round bales, even if you don't have cows or livestock. Number 10, use round bales to spell out, will you marry me in a large field? Fly your girlfriend over the field. Perfect proposal. If you're single, see bonus instead. Bonus, pose next to round bale for a selfie and get started on farmersonly.com today. You know you've always wanted to. Act now or else this hay will be gone before you can say, hey, I wish I'd have gotten around to buying some bales. All puns intended.
There's a guy with too many hay bales and too much time.
Too much time and too much hay. That is,
you know, so what? I don't know how to decide. These were all really, really good today. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm feeling generous. I'm going to give everybody that we read today a $10 Starbucks gift card.
Really?
Yes. I've never done it before. I'm feeling generous today. Jennifer's going to kill me after because she's going to have to figure it all out. So
you could have donated that $100 to Lucky. I'm just kidding. These are all so funny. That's nice of you, Glenn. That's very nice because, I mean, my gosh, these are all so
We would have picked. There were some really good ones today. Would have been
everybody wins.
Everybody wins today.
Day.
You can all get some you can all get some pumpkin spice lattes from Starbucks. And Jennifer is in there fuming right now because she has to like do all the work.
You are in so much trouble. I am, it's not pretty so funny. Much, and she writes the checks and she's gonna have to buy all those Starbucks gift cards too, probably. So you're in the doghouse.
I love
Go
you,
enjoy
dear.
A pumpkin spice latte.
I love you, dear. I'll buy you a pumpkin spice latte.
You can't afford it. Oh, that's great. That's good. Good way to end. Everybody wins.
Everybody wins. And of course, everybody's entered right to win the Equity Flex and Fork at the end of the month.
Yeah.
And we're going to be doing that next week or the week after. And then, of course, everybody that enters all year long is going to be in the running to win the Shake and Fork at the end of the year. So it's a good deal all around. Thank you so much, everybody. I know it takes you take time. A lot of these people take time out of their week every single week to send us ads, and we really do appreciate it. It gives us more to pick from, and we can pick out the funniest ones for your benefit and ours, because my face hurts after laughing today.
I'm just so angry that this horse is so broke. I'm just angry. I'm just so
that angry about any of your horses.
I'm so angry. All my horses are so broke. They're so broke. It just makes me so mad. I think that was my favorite.
All right. We'll be back here Monday. Have a terrific weekend, everybody. Have fun. And of course, remember, next week's International Podcast Day. So tell everybody, get on your Facebooks and your Twitters next week and tell everybody about podcasts, and especially this one, Horses in the Morning and Horse Radio Network.
Love you guys. Thank you so much. Lucky says, but you have to hold your breath because he's got really bad breath. Bay, neuter, gallop. I'm gonna go play with my really broke horses that make me mad.